The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. After this, and this is the testimony of John, when the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "Who are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you a prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Then why do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, before I begin, I just want to let you all know that I have nothing whatsoever against the color pink. I know, it's really rose, right? But when you look at that color, what comes to your mind, rose or pink?
Pink.
The reason that Father is wearing a pink rose chasuble and I'm not is very simple. I don't have a rose in that color. I think my brother Deacon Angel does, but I guess he didn't want me to field day as we didn't wear it. But I know you might be wondering something. I just wanted to set the record straight, and maybe one day I'll get a pink Dalmatic. We'll see. Yeah. But now, on to more important things. The gospel began with the words, "A man named John was sent from God to testify to the light so that all might believe through him." Let me share with you a little story. Cardinal Francis Xavier Nguyen Van Thuan, the Archbishop of Saigon in Vietnam, spent quite a bit of his time as Archbishop in prison under the charge of conspiracy. The communist Vietnamese said that he was conspiring with the Vatican imperialists to overthrow the communist regime. So he was in jail. Not only that, he spent the bulk of his time in solitary confinement. And they were afraid, the prison officials, that this holy man might contaminate others, as they put it. His situation was quite bleak, to say the least. And he recounts how one day he prayed, saying, "Lord, what am I to do?" And the Lord answered, "Francis, you are a rich man. Share your wealth." And that's what he did. He started to smile a lot more rather than keep a frown on his face. He started to exchange kind words with the prison guards. As they got friendlier with him, he would tell them stories. He would tell them stories about his travels all around the world. He would tell them about how other people lived in other countries, told them all sorts of things.
He never actually preached to them. He didn't need to, because little by little, they started to ask. They became his students, and he taught them all sorts of things, from science to politics to you name it. They saw the sincerity of this man, and they even brought other prison guards to learn from him. Sometimes even prison officials would come just to listen to this holy man. He taught them some Latin. And he remembered one night he was sitting in his cell and he heard the guard on doing his rounds, patrolling the hallways of the prison, singing Salve Regina. His sentence was to one of hard labor. And while outside chopping wood one day, he asked the guard if he could make a small cross for himself. So immediately the guard snapped, "You know that religious symbols of any sort are strictly forbidden here in the prison. But go ahead." Then he asked if he had a chest, a wire, so he could wear that cross. Again, the guard snapped and said, "Wire is not forbidden by the prisoners because they will commit suicide." He said, "I am a Catholic priest. I will not commit suicide." He got his wire. He was eventually released from prison, but he was exiled. He had to leave his country of Vietnam. And so he moved to Rome, where he died in 2002. But every day after leaving that prison until the day he died, he wore that crude wooden cross with around his neck with the wire as his pectoral cross, a sign of his authority and his bishop. Someone asked him one day, "Well, why do you wear that thing? You know, why don't you get yourself a nice shiny one now that you can? You know, what a depressing reminder it must be of those years in prison." And his answer, I thought, was interesting. Let me read his response to you. He said, "I wear this cross and chain every day, not because they are reminders of prison, but because they indicate my profound conviction that only Christian love can change hearts. In the most dramatic moments in prison, without strength enough even to pray or meditate, I looked for ways to sum up the essence of my prayer, and I used these words: I am the living testimony of Jesus. I am the living testimony of Jesus." A man named John was sent from God to give testimony so that others might believe through him. You know, this holy season of Advent is also something that gives testimony. Testimony that requires from us a decision. Remember, we're not play acting here. We're not making believe that Jesus wasn't born yet and he's going to be born. Jesus was born. Jesus came. He has joined our human family. He is Emmanuel. God is with us. And he will come again on the last day. But he also comes to us at every moment of every day. He came, he comes, he will come again. And of that second coming, over and over and over and over again in the Gospels, you hear Jesus warning us that when he comes, he will come at a time when we least expect. He will come like a thief in the night. And so I have a question for you this morning. Do you know what time it is? I think that's in many ways the central question of Advent. And I think that's also the real tragedy when we lose the season of Advent. We forget what time it is. It seems anymore that the moment Halloween is over, Christmas begins. And yet, we get reminded that it's Advent. We come to church, and for the hour we celebrate the Eucharist, and we know it's Advent. But the moment you step outside the church, sometimes even without having to step outside the church, it's Christmas all over again. Advent asks that ever-important question, are you ready? Do you know what time it is? There are two seasons of the church year where we wear purple vestments. Advent and Lent. Both Advent and Lent are penitential seasons, or at least they should be. For Advent, you would hardly know it anymore. But although it's a penitential season, Advent is different from Lent in subtle sorts of ways. It's not just penitential, it's also prophetic. Advent is a prophetic season. That's why Advent asks that question, do you know what time it is? That's the question that a prophet asks. A prophet doesn't predict the future. A prophet predicts the present. Prophets remind us what time it is. Prophets say, if you keep on this course, this is what is going to happen. That's why Advent is a prophetic season. It reminds us that we need to stop and clear the way of all obstacles that prevent us from being ready when we meet the Lord. That's also why Advent is rejected by secular society. Because it is seen, like our Lord, to be a sign of contradiction to the ways of the world. Yet for us, Advent is a road sign for those who want to go in the right direction and find true freedom and happiness. And what is it that stands in our way? What is it that prevents us from being ready to meet the Lord when he comes? You know as well as I do. Every last one of us in this church today is infected by a sickness called sin. But there's good news. Our Holy Mother, the Church, the one who is constantly asking us, do you know what time it is? She has the cure for this sickness. She has the medicine that will restore us to health. It's called confession. Confession. There are at least two times in the year that every parish, probably around the entire world, not just here at St. Matthew, has a penance service. Ours is next Tuesday. And that's Lent and Advent. Our Mother, the Church, giving us that call, asking us that question. Do you know what time it is? You better get ready. Then, having received that medicine, only then can we begin to rebuild our strength by receiving our Lord in the Eucharist. Only then. You want to know a little secret? Everybody loves secrets. This is not a secret. I can say it that way because I know it'll get your attention. You turn on the TV this time of the year. You're almost guaranteed to find something, usually on the Hallmark Channel, right, called A Christmas Miracle, or something like that. Is there anybody here that doesn't have deep in their heart a miracle they're asking God for. Would you like a miracle in your life? I know how you can find it. What you need to do is the following. After you go to confession, after you receive our Lord in the Eucharist, spend some time before Him in adoration, before the Blessed Sacrament. We are blessed in this parish. 3 days a week, we have all day adoration over in our shrine chapel, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. On Good Friday, on First Friday, it's a 24-hour adoration. Do you know there are miracles happening in that shrine? Do you know people's lives are being changed in that shrine? Over and over again, people are coming to me and telling me of miracles that have occurred in their life because they spent time before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Just on Friday, yet again, someone came to me and told me of a miracle that they've been praying for a long time, and it's been answered. And they know it's because of the time they spent before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. I don't want you to take my word for that. I want you to go and see for yourself. Those three things, confession, receiving our Lord in the Eucharist, spending time adoring Him in the most blessed sacrament. We do those three things, we learn how to be happy prophets. We come to be fully aware of our utter dependence upon God for everything at every moment in our lives. And we also become aware that it is sin that leads us into slavery. It takes away our happiness, and it sets us in the wrong direction. I need these special times of grace. I need these holy seasons. I need the sanctifying grace that comes from the sacrament of reconciliation, confession, and the grace that comes from receiving our Lord in that most sweet milk of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that is the Eucharist. I need that because I need to be ready for that day when the Lord returns or when I pass from this life to the next. How about you? Are you ready? It's late, but it's not too late. In the tender mercy of God, it's never too late to prepare room for Him in your heart and then wait in joyful hope, ready to meet Him. One.